discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Jamie Blaine's life wasn't exactly going as planned when a twist of fate placed the late-night psychiatric crisis guy on 24/7 call. His insomnia ramped up to desperate stages, and he veered closer to becoming the very kind of person that he was trying to save. When a well-meaning colleague offered him a workbook promising the divine secret of life, Jamie embarks on a journey of self-discovery with hilarious and heartbreaking conclusions that are anything but cliched. Jamie Blaine is a licensed psychotherapist and crisis interventionist who's worked in mental hospitals, mega churches, rehabs, radio stations, and roller rinks. His new book is called Mercy Never Sleeps, Sleepless Thoughts on Faith, Heaven, and the Fear of Heights. It really is an honor to talk with you, sir. Thanks for your time today.
I hate for you to quit talking. You made me sound so good. That was beautiful. I was like, wait, who is this guy? Oh, well, he's talking about me. Oh, so I'll try to live up to the copy, my friend. Thank you.
I honestly think you already have, to be honest with you. We had the chance to review an awful lot of books for the show, as you know, with your work in radio.
Yeah.
There's a ton of great ones, but there's no question a lot of them do have some very similar themes and messages. But your book was such a curveball in terms of its topic and its style that I could not put it down, as I've told you already. And I understand. You're welcome. And I understand you hear something like that, you know, pretty consistently, that your work is filled with things you don't typically find in Christian literature. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. You know, and in defense, I can always kind of turn that question back and say, why not? You know, why aren't Christian books talking about everything in life? So it's I don't want to sound cliche by saying, wow, I was sure inspired by the Bible, but to me, when I read the Bible front to back, I saw a lot of messy characters and messy situations, and what is this prostitute doing in this story? And, you know, here's this guy, you know, killing a bunch of people with the jawbone of an ass, and it put everything in there, you know. So the Bible doesn't sugarcoat the strange nature of life, and it shows humanity at its best and at its worst. And so that's what I modeled my book after. I said, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm not going to leave anything out, man. I'm going to put it all in there, best and worst. Here it is. Deal with it. So
I love it. Yeah. Let's, as we begin, I mean, let's just go ahead and set the scene here. Introduce us to what you describe as a misfit Southern kid. What did your youthful years look like? And was faith in any way part of growing up for you?
Well, you know, I would not say I was the typical kid, and I was very sort of inquisitive, very into things. So God was always there, always a part of the story, but I very much wrestled with it, and I thought that's what we were supposed to do. I thought if God was really that big and really that good and really that all-powerful, then he wouldn't get upset at our questions and our pushing back a little bit and in what life was supposed to be. So yeah, I guess I was probably a pretty deep and kind of nerdy kid. So, but typical, you know, started playing drums like third or fourth grade, you know, was very into that BMX bikes and just sort of all that hyperactive stuff. So I was hyper into everything. So that's what I brought to this whole experience.
You have described the training then that led to your psychotherapy career as being an accidental psychology degree. How does one accidentally obtain a psych degree?
I still don't know. I tell people all the time, I was like, man, I was just the DJ at the roller rink. Yes, I didn't go looking for any of that. It came and found me. You know, a charge nurse from the psychiatric hospital offered me a job on the spot. I was in college, you know, right out of high school. I needed the cash. And as it turned out, they were really hard up for people. So it doesn't sound very glamorous, does it?
Well, I think it's perfect. The truth is good. I mean, we are all about the truth here, brother. The question I'm guessing a lot of us might have in first hearing your story would be, you know, first of all, what is a late night psychiatric crisis guy, and how did you come to be doing that?
they couldn't find anybody else dumb enough to do it. That's, you know, it really was sort of that Jonah sort of, hey, Jonah, I want you to go over there to that city. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. But yeah, I didn't want anything I wanted to do, want anything I was interested in doing. But like I said, the hospital was short staffed. So I worked every unit. I drove the van. I did everything there. And at some point they needed, they're like, hey, we need somebody to go out overnight and take call and you can do assessments and meet people exactly where they are. And, you know, whether it's the bridge or the jail or, you know, and we'll pay you, you know, $20 an hour, you're on your own. And I guess I was just young and dumb enough to go, yeah, okay, why not? I'll give it a shot. You know, what's the worst that can happen? I think there's kind of a certain beauty and truth into going into things that naive. So, and honestly, I had no faith in my abilities because I was so rambling and immature.
Sure.
So the only thing I knew to do was to show up, you know, and shut up and listen. Mm. And ironically enough, that's the thing that worked.
That is the voice of Mr. Jamie Blaine. He's a former psychotherapist who's worked at mental hospitals, megachurches, rehabs, radio stations, and roller rinks. He's authored Mercy Never Sleeps, Sleepless Thoughts on Faith, Heaven, and the Fear of Heights. And he's here with us on the road for Faith Radio. Ryan Thomas is my name. So is that primarily the type of folks that you would speak with then on this crisis line, with people who are, you know, dealing with extreme depression, even considering suicide? Was that pretty much your most common call?
Yeah, a lot of suicide, a lot of extreme depression, a lot of I can't get off of drugs, I can't quit drinking. But, you know, the interesting part of that story was at the time I was very involved in an evangelical church, a mega church, very big church. And so I had ran all this past my preacher, and he said, yeah, you know, I think this could be a good thing for you. You can teach those people about Jesus and minister to the lost. And so I went out and did the best that I could. Like I did, all I could do was show up. And, you know, Ryan, over time, I found out something that was disturbing, yet ultimately hopeful. You know, in the church, a lot of times we would talk about, you know, those people out there, the lost. Man, those people were us. Mm. You know, a lot of the people I would see on crisis, they were church members. They were people from our community. They were somebody's brother. They were, you know, somebody who sang in the choir. They were, you know, some pastor's kid or wife, or that there was no us in them. All of those people were us. And that was a crazy revelation, but one that to me was ultimately hopeful. So.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing. I mean, you're already then working in an overnight capacity, you eventually become on 24/7 call.
Yeah,
I have a sense of how you're gonna respond to this. But how did that come about first, and how did it really begin to impact your life?
It was in a season where I just, you know, I needed the money. I didn't have a lot of other stuff going on, and there was a need there. And you know, I can look back and say it really was. You know, I think it really was something that was appointed for me to do. It was just the right thing to just jump in that deep. But, you know, Mercy Never Sleeps is the sequel and sort of the prequel, both in one, to my first book, Midnight Jesus. And in Midnight Jesus, I talk about being the late night psychiatric crisis person in a small Bible Belt town and doing these things. But in Mercy Never Sleeps, you know, what happens when you become the very person you're trying to rescue? You know, what happens when you become that person, and just kind of having to deal with that place of humility that was extremely difficult and hard to talk about too in a book. So,
well, but you do it in such a powerful way. One of the things that really shapes this then, of course, too, is the insomnia that you deal with. You use, you know, insomnia as a metaphor, but it's a very real physical reality for you at this point, right?
Yeah. And the deeper you go into that, the more you lose your sanity. So, you know, there's no way you could work nights. you know, anytime the phone went off, it's like being a fireman. It's like being a psychiatric fireman. You go grab your boots and jump in your truck and go. So you come to a point to where even when you're sleeping very lightly. because you're thinking at any second I could get the call. And it becomes to where you live in that state of adrenaline and in that state of sort of being hyper ready for whatever crisis is coming. And over time, it drives you crazy. It really does. So, and I wanted to be very honest about that because I was also in that culture where so much of the of the Christian sort of messages and literature I was given was getting was pour yourself out, you know, into the service of others and just, you know, broken vessel. And man, and the reality of that, I just, and the humility of burning out and going, I'm losing it. That was tough. So it was very much a gritty and sort of that other side of that message, I guess, when it gets out of balance. And I don't want to criticize that message or take anything away from it. It's a good message. But to me, it's what happens when you go past that point.
Mr. Jamie Blaine is a former psychotherapist who's worked at mental hospitals, megachurches, rehabs, radio stations, and roller rinks. He's authored Mercy Never Sleeps, Sleepless Thoughts on Faith, Heaven, and the Fear of Heights. This big pivot point in your story, this colleague of yours gives you a workbook with divine secrets, right? What was that all about, and how did it set you on this journey?
I had nothing left to lose, and she's a case manager at this group home where I did a lot of calls. And so she had this workbook that she had made up, you know, and you see so many things like that, especially, you know, with church stuff, you know, read this book and you'll find your purpose, you know, 10 Bible steps to overcome and figure out your place in this world. And, you know, at the time it was like, why not? What have I got to lose by doing this? And the results were pretty interesting because what I had to do was you go back and you see your own story and you got to pull that stuff out and you look at it and you go, what's redemptive about the past? How can I take every story that I've got, even the roughest ones, even the craziest stories, is there anything redemptive in that? Can I look back at my life and see that, man, God's hand was with me the whole time? And I think that is a challenge. And it just caught me at the right time and it caught me at the right place where pretty much I'm going out on a nightly basis, you know, sitting with people and saying, all right, tell me your story. You know, let's take a look at your story. Is no matter how busted up and how broken and how crazy it seems, let's see if we can't pull something redemptive out of this. Well, that's one thing to do from me to them, but to have to bring myself to that place. Yeah, man, that was humbling, but it was also comical. So, but I think that's all of our stories. I think if we look back, honestly, it's all a mess and it's all crazy and it's all kind of sad and it's all kind of funny. And I think ultimately it's universal.
So much of this book is describing really in tandem with your first book, as well as you describe how the people you were helping as a late night psychotherapist brought you closer to God yourself. And kind of give us the overview of how that started to happen, and feel free to share a specific story or two. You have so many anecdotes that are funny, so feel free to bust some of those out as well.
You know, I did an interview a while back, and then I remember the guy was, I think it was with a pastor, and he really wanted me to be this sort of outreach person, this minister, and, you know, going out to minister to the broken. And finally I said, I'm sorry. I said, my books are about how the broken ministered to me and what they taught me about God. I said, I just haven't got to that place yet. You know, I said, but hopefully we all help each other. So, I mean, I'll tell you a story that actually didn't make either one of the books. this woman called in, and she was in a bad place with drugs. She was talking about suicide, and I actually had to go with her case manager to her apartment, which was just in this rundown old complex out by the airport. She's not responding. We had to break the door down. We get inside. It turns out she was in the bathroom, couldn't hear. She comes out, and it's this girl from my church. We knew each other from church. You know, so I mean, we're both kind of like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And so, you know, and so we get her kind of cleaned up and together and packed, put her in my truck, and I'm driving her to the psych ward. and she's just sort of running down just all of the crazy stuff she's been involved in the last few months, and the drugs and the sexual stuff. I mean, it's just all of this ugly, ugly stuff. And at one point, she stops and she looks at me and she says, "Jamie, Grace had better be amazing or else I'm screwed." And I thought, man, Miss Tracy, me too.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's what it teaches me. If Grace ain't amazing, man, I'm screwed, because I do not have it together. I'll never have it together, ever. So it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot. It was my honor for, you know, to learn those things. I mean, to me, I'm like, brother, I'm on holy ground. This is my privilege to be here. There's nothing. I'm not here to teach you. I'm here to learn from you.
Wow. That's so great. Jamie Blaine is a former psychotherapist who's worked at mental hospitals, mega churches, rehabs, radio stations, and roller rinks. His new book is called Mercy Never Sleeps: Sleepless Thoughts on Faith, Heaven, and the Fear of Heights, here on the road for Faith Radio. You seem to be, really the entire narrative of the story seems to be making the case that in a way Jesus is more easily seen in the messy moments of life. Is that a fair read?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think we have to open ourselves up to look for it everywhere. I mean, gosh, you know, when he came, how messy was that? You know, if we look at that, dare to look at that outside of the story, more a verse that really changed a lot of things for me back then was I read that prophecy in Isaiah, I think it's 53, where he basically says, hey, there's this guy coming, but he's not going to look like much, and he's not going to sound like much, and he's not going to be anything we would call attractive or charming, but that's going to be the guy. So I have to believe that Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still showing up in the messy stuff and in the ugly stuff. And, you know, don't look in the polish. Look in the messy stuff. That's my take on it.
You have received so much of the message that you share in places that many of us wouldn't anticipate finding those lessons. I wonder, do you have any sort of advice for us in our own faith journeys on being more open, how we can open ourselves up a little bit more and be more receptive to hearing God's voice, maybe in places we wouldn't anticipate hearing it?
You know, I always went, because I felt so incapable, I went with no expectations and no agenda. And like I said, man, I just show up. And I do see that that works in a lot of places in life. If we can just drop our expectations or you know, not think, there was nothing I was going to say that was so profound that I was going to fix anything. I couldn't fix anything, you know, but I'm here and I'll do what I can do to help in this moment. And so I think when we're open to that, I think that changes things, but I think it's a lot of humility. It's a lot of, you got to give up your need to be right about things. It's just not that important, you know? So, you know, in this last book where I talk about, hey, this divine secret of life, going to reach your purpose, man, I was guilty of all of that stuff too, but I think a lot of times I mistook what I would call purpose was either thinking about it as in vocation or ministry, or especially for those of us in the Bible Belt, ministry as vocation. In other words, we want somebody to pay us to do our dream job. Will you pay me to preach? Will you pay me to sing? Will you pay me to be a Christian writer? That's my purpose and my calling. And I don't think that's, I mean, those things are good things, but I think really when we talk about purpose, we talk about character. And so to me, it's like, man, is there any way I can not be so much of a jerk today? Can I possibly not be the most selfish person on the planet today? Is there any way to do that? You know, and that just takes a lot of grace.
That's amazing. And it kind of does sidle up to one of the main points you make, which is, as I read it anyway, purpose, we see it as a destination so often. We want to find that moment where we have discovered our purpose, but you're making the case that it's more of a journey than we've perhaps interpreted it.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, if you said, all right, Moses, here's your purpose. You're going to wander around the desert for 40 years, you know, averaging about 6 miles a year. And then at the end of the story, you're not going to make the promised land. I don't think he would have been real jazzed about that purpose, you know? So I can relate to that. Amen. How many times have I wandered around and it took me weeks or months or years to get somewhere that should have been a 3-day trip? Dude, that's me. I'm guilty. So, yeah, you got to change your perspective. But, you know, that was a lot of, there was a lot of good news in that, too. That when I talk to people about these books, I say, you know, the most important lesson I learned, the most hopeful thing I learned, the thing that changed my entire perspective on relationship with God and with people and all of this is who people are corporately and who they are privately are two totally different things. So all those people I was intimidated by at the church that I thought were so beautiful and had it together so much, man, guess what? Behind the scenes, they didn't have it together any better than the rest of us did. Well, man, that was hopeful for me. I wasn't the only one that was messed up. I wasn't the only one who couldn't get it together. Yeah. If I was anxious, I couldn't just read, be anxious for nothing, and suddenly magically be calm. I struggled with all of that stuff. But that's what life is. So, and we're all in it together. So that's my take on it. If I got a platform, brother, that's it.
I love it. Man, Jamie Blaine, the book is called Mercy Never Sleeps, Sleepless Thoughts on Faith, Heaven, and the Fear of Heights. One question I can't resist asking as our time together whittles away is...
Oh, I can come back tomorrow if you want to do this again. So I got nothing going on.
It's just, it's been a great conversation.
I'm just hanging out, brother.
Well, the spirit that you just kind of exude is really what I want to ask about, because, I mean, you figure that when you see somebody who comes face to face with so many stories of people who are dealing with so much hopelessness, you wonder whether they emerge from that story having found hope themselves. And obviously the answer for you is yes, but what I wonder is, you have so much humor in this book in the midst of some of the most depressing moments in life. How has humor really shaped how you have come to find hope, that gift of humor?
You got to laugh, man. It's too crazy down here. It just is. You know, and I mean, if you're going to write a book about psychiatric crisis and suicide and addiction, you better balance that out with some humor. But in all honesty, man, that's all stuff I learned from the patients and from the people that I worked with. Because I would go see people in the worst of the worst. I mean, just like, oh my gosh, man, it can't get any worse than this, you know. And so many of them, I mean, I'm going in trying to hold it together, just trying not to either run or break down crying or, you know, just freak out. And they would, so many of them would lighten the mood or make some joke or, and I just think that's human nature. When life gets too heavy, man, we've got to break the tension somehow. So, and not in an inappropriate way. So I think there's something very real, very sort of flesh and blood about that in the human experience. And brother, more than anything else, that's what I wanted to bring to the table. That's the stories I wanted to tell. I wanted to tell very much flesh and blood and gritty, real, you know, this is the good and this is the bad. And the humor was a big part of that. Thank God. Thank God, because I don't know if I would have made it through it without the humor.
Oh, man. Well, this book is chock full of those stories of humor, of hope, even in the midst of the darkest moments in our lives. Mercy Never Sleeps, Sleepless Thoughts on Faith, Heaven, and the Fear of Heights by Mr. Jamie Blaine. And we do not want to go anywhere before saying farewell without saying where we can go to find a copy of the book and to learn more about you and your pretty amazing story, sir.
You can go to mercyneversleeps.com, and thank God it's available everywhere books are sold, Amazon, Lifeway, and I believe even midnightjesus.com is still up. There are some videos there from a documentary we did, and just lots of fun stuff that are out there, which is endlessly amusing to me that the story is out there and that they haven't run me out of Christianity yet. So.
What an absolute delight talking with you, sir. Thank you for your time, and thank you for sharing your story.
Ryan, the pleasure was all mine, buddy. I enjoyed it, and, you know, man, I love your take on things. You know, we all need to be a little less uptight. So.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.